T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Friday morning, 9 o'clock hour. You know it's time for Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager, and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing great. How are you, buddy?
Doing all right.
Mike, we're hanging in there. We've been going through this Teddy Bridgewater thing. As you know, he's from down here in Miami, went to Northwestern High School. Going back and forth. So Teddy had to decide, all right, it was all about money. We know he wanted to be the starting quarterback here. Chris Greer didn't make a big enough offer, and Chris Greer was trying to sell him, you haven't been a starter in 3 years. This will get your career going. You can hit some incentives. And he's going, no, I'd rather go be the backup in New Orleans. They got a really good team, and maybe I can be the future quarterback. What do you think? It's pretty interesting going back and forth because he does want to be a starter again. What do you think about his decision?
Well, I think he's got one more shot to be a starter and be a guy who can be a year in and year out. You know, if you make the wrong choice and you go somewhere and it's a disaster, no one's going to give you a chance again.
Right.
And what else do the Dolphins have around him? What kind of offensive line is in place to protect him, to allow him to continue to rehab and improve that knee? That was such a devastating injury that he suffered in August of 2016. You don't want to throw yourself into a mess like that. And I can understand why he would choose to stay with Sean Payton and behind Drew Brees. And the thing about Drew Brees, last year he really fell off as the season went on. So either he was secretly injured or Father Time is catching up to him. And it's possible it's the latter. And who knows what happens throughout the 2019 season. Maybe Teddy gets to play at some point if Brees is quote-unquote injured and can't play. Or maybe some run-of-the-mill injury that otherwise wouldn't have kept him from playing keeps him from playing. It could be like Peyton Manning in 2015, where he was holding it together week in and week out. So these are all things that could affect Teddy Bridgewater's chances in New Orleans. And then it's 2020. If Drew Brees isn't there, is Teddy Bridgewater the guy, assuming that Sean Payton is there? These are all things that are factors in the decision. And I think staying with Sean Payton has a lot to do with it, but he at least explored it. And the other factor in Miami, you're the starting quarterback for 6 weeks, and then they draft a guy who's going to be the new quarterback, and you're going to get supplanted, so why did you even do it? And Right. We've seen that happen multiple times in recent years as well.
All right, so Teddy Bridgewater not here. We still have a quarterback on the roster. What to do with him, how it's going to all get, you know, squared away money-wise, contract-wise, cut-wise, whatever it is, Ryan Tannehill, what are you hearing? What are your thoughts on that?
There's no way that he stays, right? It's a $26 million cap charge. Now, I guess he could choose to take less and stick around under a reworked deal. But why? Why would they do it? And why would he want to do it? And why would the Dolphins want him to do it? Now is the time to move forward. I'm looking at the numbers here. If he's on the team, it's a $26.6 million cap charge. Cutting him results in $13 million hitting the cap. And I think that's the route they're going to go. He's due to make $18.725 million. That is more than he deserves at this point. And the Dolphins, I'd be shocked if they don't cut him sooner rather than later. I'm looking to see if there's any trigger in here that requires them to move now, and there isn't. Sometimes there will be, and because he's getting toward the end of his contract, that's when these triggers usually evaporate. But there'll be something that, you know, results in a guaranteed payment if he's on the roster the fifth day of the league year, or a roster bonus or something. There's nothing like that would cause the Dolphins to make an easy and quick decision, so they can take a little time. I can't imagine them finding a trade partner, and I can't imagine them bringing him to the offseason program. So I think he gets cut before they show up for phase one next month.
Yeah.
All right, well, Mike, stop me when I'm getting closer to what you think might be the answer. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Blake Bortles, A.J. McCarron, trade for Josh Rosen, Colin Kaepernick. What else is out there on the market
that's
right now?
That's pretty good stuff.
Josh McCown, if they could talk him into not retiring. Like, what's going to be the answer, you think, down here for the Dolphins next season?
Well, to be determined at this point. Tyrod Taylor.
Or rookie quarterback. You're right. I'll say that too.
That's the thing. You got to go. And the problem is, drafting 13th, if you don't have a quarterback under contract at that point who plausibly could be your starter, you may as well have a sign above that table with the Dolphins, you know, helmet phone on it at the draft saying, we are taking a quarterback at number 13. Please leapfrog us, right? You almost have to trade up at that point.
Right.
Because at 12, whatever quarterback you were going to take at 13 is going to be taken by somebody who jumps up in front of you. That's the problem. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's the only reasonable alternative at this point. We tried to identify some guys the other day. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's Trevor Siemian. Or the guys you have, what is it, Luke Falk and David Fales?
That's right.
Are those the guys under contract? Is Osweiler still there? My God. Is he still there?
No.
He's a free agent.
I think
we
he's
can
a
bring
free
him
agent.
Back.
We can't do that again. We had a little fun with that. But, yeah, that's done. I'll tell you what, man, the NFL, how fun has free agency been for the good old business of ProFootballTalk.com? My gosh, we've never seen anything like this. Two of the best receivers getting traded?
Well, yeah, and that's not even part of the free agency process.
Right.
That's a separate thing that happened out of nowhere. And that's good because, let me tell you, this year free agency, when you look at the names, you look at the sizzle, you look at the buzz, there really wasn't much. Last year there was a wide array of quarterbacks on the market. This year there was Nick Foles and Teddy Bridgewater. So this year free agency wasn't as dynamic and compelling as it had been in recent years. Those trades from Antonio Brown to the Raiders and Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns, they made all the difference.
You know, Peter King said something. We had him on the other day, and Peter King said Drew Rosenhaus's work was the best he's ever seen by an agent after what Antonio Brown did, things he did on social media to get him a brand spanking new contract with all that guaranteed money when he had 3 years left on a contract. I thought it was pretty interesting because Peter doesn't usually talk about agents, but he really thought that was unbelievable. What'd you think?
Well, and here's the thing. We don't know whether or not this was orchestrated by Antonio Brown deliberately, whether it was orchestrated by Antonio Brown accidentally, or it was all a coincidence to the fact that the Steelers had decided they're getting rid of this guy. So he can clamor all he wants to get out, or he cannot clamor to get out. Either way, he's getting out. It's the old I am breaking up with you routine. You know, they were going to break up with him. They were going to get rid of him. So he's acting like he wants out when they were already determined to get rid of him. I personally believe that at some point between week 17 and 3-4 weeks ago when Antonio Brown met with Art Rooney II about possibly finding a trade partner, etc., I believe at some point Ben Roethlisberger made it known, I want this guy out. And it probably didn't have to rise to the level of he goes or I go, but I think Roethlisberger chimed in at some point. We don't know that. It hasn't been reported. It probably won't be reported. But I think that Roethlisberger had enough of Antonio Brown. You look at some of the things he said on social media about Roethlisberger. There was some stuff on Twitter where someone else had made comments about Roethlisberger's past sexual assault allegations, and Antonio Brown hit that little like button, you know, the little heart that you can hit on Twitter, well, on two of them. And I think that would have been the thing that crossed the line. If the line wasn't already crossed, that crosses the line. I think that he wasn't coming back. So, look, Drew did a good job, a very good job, of finding a team that would pay Antonio Brown, that would give the Steelers a minimal amount of draft compensation. It felt like it wasn't going to happen, but I don't think the Steelers were going to keep him. I think at the end of the day, the Steelers are going to take the best offer they got. And it worked out that it was a team that was willing to give Antonio Brown more money. And Chris Sims on PFT Live, he took it next level. He wonders whether or not this was orchestrated by Rosenhaus and the Raiders and Brown as a blatant tampering situation weeks ago. Ooh. And Antonio Brown dyeing his mustache blonde and acting like an idiot on social media was all part of the ruse to make sure it happens.
That's an interesting scenario out there. Let's talk about the other wide receiver that moved teams, the Cleveland Browns. What do you think this Cleveland Browns offense is going to look? I mean, we know what it looks like on paper right now, but week four, week five, if Jarvis isn't getting, you know, seven targets in a game, or Odell only has two in a game because he's being double teamed, or maybe Nick Chubb or even Kareem Hunt at that point, and he gets a comeback, he's not getting enough carries. How is this dynamic going to work in your eyes?
Well, it all depends on whether or not they win or lose right out of the gates. And the schedule that they get, how the games are configured, whether they play the Bengals and the Cardinals the first 2 weeks or the Patriots and the Rams the first 2 weeks, that's going to be a factor, because when you've got a young team and you've got a new coach and you've got a lot of pieces that need to come together, you want guys to buy in, and they're far more likely to buy in if they're winning than if they're losing. And I think that is going to be a key. And there's nothing you can do about it other than bribe Howard Katz to give you a more favorable schedule. I mean, who does that? Who gives somebody millions of dollars to get something favorable that they want? Oh, wait a minute. That was in the news this week. So, hey, maybe the money that the Haslams were going to spend to get their kids into Stanford, they should spend that money to get the Browns a better schedule.
Maybe a sports psychologist,
I don't know if you're
going
to say Stanford or USC, which one of those schools.
All I know is this. Joe Montana has been implicated in this thing, and he denies any wrongdoing. One of his kids ended up at West Virginia Wesleyan. West Virginia Wesleyan is not far from me. I guarantee you, you don't have to bribe anyone to get into West Virginia Wesleyan.
Not even like 10 grand, nothing like that?
My kid was a tryhard. He wasn't real smart, but he tried really, really hard in school. Hey, Mike, I want to ask you, speaking of the Browns, are we going to see them a lot on Sunday night? I mean, they're sexy on paper. NBC's got to be trying to jump all over getting those guys.
Look, I've got 4.5 as the over-under for primetime games for the Browns this year. You look at some of the games they have. They go to New England. They host the Rams. They host the Seahawks. The two games against the Steelers. Because, the Steelers are not going to go away quietly here. They're not just going to concede the division to the Browns. I remember there was a time back, 10, 15 years ago, the Bengals felt like they were taking over the division, and the Steelers smacked them down. That was that playoff game when Kimo von Olhoffen took out Carson Palmer's ACL. I mean, and not that he did it on purpose, but that was a time when it felt like the Bengals were the new bullies on the block, and the Steelers reminded everyone they still are, and they won 2 Super Bowls in 4 seasons. So I think when they play the Steelers, those are going to be compelling primetime games. I could see Browns-Steelers on a Thursday night. I could see Browns-Patriots on a Sunday night. I could see Rams-Browns on a Monday night. I mean, there's still some great games, and on that schedule, they're going to be, and they're just going to be a draw. Whoever they play, they're going to be a draw this year. And who would have ever dreamed that a team has gone from being so irrelevant
it's crazy
to so fascinating so quickly? And you know what? The key is you get that transcendent talent at quarterback, and that changes everything.
I think he is the perfect quarterback. I said earlier, for this whole group of characters, and in some cases, very high-maintenance guys, two of those guys from LSU, he's a perfect guy to handle that whole thing. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I like the idea, and I don't want to make this too complicated, but I was concerned that maybe Baker Mayfield becomes too big for Cleveland. Now that Odell Beckham Jr. is there, it kind of takes away this idea that Mayfield has become LeBron James. Right, it's almost like he's got Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. That may not be the best example because it's almost like Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan. Right, it's two superstars. They're going to be eating up the same oxygen in the room, but it keeps Mayfield from becoming bigger than the team. I think that's the concern. And I asked Freddie Kitchens that: how do you keep Baker Mayfield from becoming bigger than the team? And I guess the answer is trade for Odell Beckham Jr.
I hope it doesn't become contagious, bruh, in that locker room, because that could be a problem.
Contagious, bruh.
Could be an interesting situation there. Real quick, Le'Veon Bell, Jets, Adam Gase, that offense. What do you think?
I think Le'Veon Bell. Here's the thing. The Jets got a great contract here. Instead of pointing out how poorly Le'Veon Bell did, and I still think that the full guarantee of $26 million is a practical matter over the next 2 years. That's better than what the Steelers were going to pay him, and that's better than playing for $14.5 million last year and getting run into the ground by the Steelers knowing that they're not going to have you next year. But as it relates to Le'Veon Bell's production, as it relates to his performance, as it relates to what the Jets can expect, I think they got him for a steal. He's going to help Sam Darnold be better, and I think he's going to, he's going to remind us all that he's still Le'Veon Bell. And so what if he sat out a year? Isn't sitting out a year better than being injured for a whole year, which is what could have happened to him last year? So I think it's going to be great, and I think the Jets are a team that need to be taken seriously. And, the only good news for other AFC East teams is they didn't get Anthony Barr. They thought they had him.
Ooh,
but if they'd gotten Anthony Barr, maybe they wouldn't have been able to afford Le'Veon Bell.
That's right. That's interesting
stuff. I tried to warn you a little bit, by the way, just between us, about Le'Veon Bell wasn't going to get that money. You thought he was going to hit
a
home
run. No, I did,
run.
And here's why. Wow. Great players rarely get to unrestricted free agency, and when they do, they should get paid.
Right.
And how does Le'Veon Bell, a great player who gets to unrestricted free agency, not become the highest paid player at his position? He's more than $1 million per year short of it. That's amazing to me. And look, I don't know whether the agent overplayed his hand. I don't know whether the Todd Gurley arthritic condition in the knee has scared people off. I don't know whether there's concern about past substance abuse policy violations by Le'Veon Bell. I don't know. Maybe there's a certain amount of resentment because he took on the system and sat out a whole year, and there are teams that weren't interested in him that would have been interested in him. But at the end of the day, it was just the Jets. Yeah. And if it had been multiple teams, that's how you get north of 14.3 right. or 14.4, whatever Todd Gurley set the high water mark at.
All right, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com every Friday here on
thanks,
the show.
Mike.
Mike, thanks as always.
See you guys.
Mike Florio brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.